Well, the past several weeks, we've been journeying through our Old Testament lectionary texts, and so far, they've all been stories that most of us are fairly familiar with, like the story of the rise of Joseph, which we read 2 weeks ago, from the pit to the Pharaoh's right hand, or last week's story of Moses placed in a basket and sent downriver, only to be found by the king's daughter herself. For many who don't identify as Christian, these stories are still likely familiar to them. Like folklore, they've become a part of our culture, so to speak. Well, this week's story is no different. The burning bush scene in the chapter of Exodus is surely among the top 10 best-known biblical stories. It's been immortalized in countless ways in culture. In fact, an entire generation of Americans grew up with the rendition of it in the epic movie, The Ten Commandments. How many of you saw that movie?
Me too.
And for our younger generation of viewers, the scene was animated by DreamWorks' The Prince of Egypt, which grossed over $100 million. Like the stories we've told the past several weeks, today's is a common one. This morning, we'll continue our journey of losing control, of identifying what God is calling us to relinquish in order that we might receive. We'll take a look at this all-familiar tale with the hopes that there is something new for us here. But before we go any further, let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, whether you grew up watching the Ten Commandments or the Prince of Egypt, or whether you're familiar with the spiritual Go Down Moses, there is this urge always for narrators of the Exodus story to idolize Moses. Of course, the idolization of Moses is not without good reason. He was arguably the first and best of all the Israelite prophets. He was the great leader of the Exodus, the one who demanded that the Pharaoh let God's people go. He was the one who parted the Red Sea and led the Israelites across to dry land. Yes, in many ways, Moses was a hero. But the irony of our story this morning is that the prophet par excellence in this scene is not the powerful, idolized leader which we remember, but a hapless and confused person who refers to himself as an alien residing in a foreign land. Raised by his Hebrew mother, he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and given an Egyptian name. He tried to intervene to help his own people, the Hebrews, but he ended up murdering an Egyptian and being rejected by his own people. He created a mess in Egypt, decided to flee town, and now he's shepherding flocks, a less than prestigious job. And so here we find him, a fugitive from justice, hiding out in the Arabian desert, tending to his father-in-law's sheep. This is his new normal now. The life he had in Egypt is a distant memory. This is his life's trajectory now, to stay in hiding and shepherd sheep. This is his path, his future, and his plan. That is, of course, until one day, when he decided to lead his sheep beyond the wilderness to Horeb, the mountain of God, where an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush. We don't know much about this infamous bush, other than that it must have been to either Moses' left or to his right, because as the story goes, he had to turn aside to look at it. And when he turned aside to face the direction of the bush, God dismissed the angel and took over the bush God's self. Read verse 4 again. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." I recently read that what made Moses Moses was this seemingly small moment right here, his willingness to turn aside. Wherever else he was supposed to be going and whatever else he was supposed to be doing, he decided that day that it could wait for a minute. Moses could have easily decided that he would come back the next day to see if the bush was still burning when maybe he had a little bit more time, only then he wouldn't have been Moses. He would have just been some guy who got away with murder without discovering what else his life might have been about. Now, isn't this the case with faith? Doesn't it always seem as though faith is requiring us to take detours, to make side trips which are not part of our original plans? Faith is the beckoning, the call to turn aside so that there God might address us. So in sticking with our theme from the past few weeks, I wonder if what we're called to relinquish this morning is our own sense of direction. Because it's like the Holy Spirit, don't you know, to always be at work in our periphery, but if we don't choose to turn aside and pay attention, then we miss her. If we're so focused on our own sense of direction, our own daily tasks and jobs, our own plans and life trajectories, then we miss the wonder, and God forbid we walk by a burning bush and don't know it. Am I right? There's a line from Alice Walker's book, The Color Purple, which I love, where Shug Avery says, "You know, I think it pisses God off if you walk by the color purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it. It's not that you don't see the color, it's that you don't notice it. There's purple all around you as you walk through the field, but you never let yourself stop even for a moment to acknowledge it or to appreciate it." Moses saw the bush, but he had to turn aside to fully receive it. In that moment, that seemingly small decision is when history changed. What made Moses turn aside, I'm not sure, but I do know that Moses came from a long line of women who not only saw, but turned aside. They noticed, and then they responded. Remember Moses' mother. She saw Moses, saw that he was good, and then she fashioned a miniature ark for him and put him down river so that he could survive and one day lead his people home. Pharaoh's daughter, an Egyptian, heard the baby cry and saw that he was a Hebrew, and then she chose to raise the child as her own. Both of these women saw, but then they also turned aside. They chose to forgo whatever path they were on and respond to a new call. You see, here's the thing. The burning bush was full of both beauty and pain, a flame enduring, suffering continuing. It was no doubt a wondrous sight, but Moses could have continued on. His mother could have seen her child, but still chose to send him to his death as she was ordered. The Pharaoh's daughter could have seen him, but chose to follow her orders and let him go on his own down the river to meet some otherwise terrible future. Because the truth is, it's possible to see the wonder and not turn aside. Whether it's beauty or pain calling out to us on our left or on our right, it is possible to see it, but continue on our way. In fact, we do it all the time. There's a poem by United Methodist pastor Steve Garness Holmes that powerfully and poignantly captures the significance of one's decision to turn aside. It's called Burning Bush. It is possible to see the wonder and not turn aside. Both the bush and the flame enduring, beauty and pain together, divine glory and suffering. The young man shot, the girl deported, the flooded victims, the poor beset again, a cross burning, but not consumed. It is possible to see, yet go on as you were. What awakens you, the bush, the flame, or its persistence, the splendor, the grief, or their marriage, is enough. It is not for your faith or inspiration. No, not for you at all. There is work to do, and your help is needed. To set people free, to abandon your placid security, let the bush burn in your eyes and heart until you stand before Pharaoh with the hard news. Wonder and anguish will haunt you. Justice and hope inflame you. You yourself will blaze and yet not be consumed. Still, it is possible to see the wonder and not turn aside. My friends, what wonder have you seen but not turned aside for? What beauty or pain have you seen but refused to turn aside to let it call you by name? Many of us across the world saw the suffering of those affected by Hurricane Harvey, but fewer of us turned aside. Many of us see the faces of those who are hungry, homeless, orphaned, or ill, but less of us turn aside. Maybe it's because we're afraid. Afraid to be called, afraid to hear our own name, Moses, Moses. We don't want to be detoured. We don't want to get off our own life path. Isn't it enough, we say, that need surrounds our periphery? Why must we pause? We don't have the time. We have to keep going or we'll never get to, where is it that we're trying so hard to get to? Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Moses witnessed the glory of God that day. It shone so bright, he had to hide his face. But there he remained, turned aside, and it wasn't just for him. It was for all of us. His help was needed to set people free, to stand before Pharaoh demanding justice and proclaiming hope. Had Moses not turned aside, where would we be? If you and I don't turn aside, where will we be? My friends, it's not enough to see. We must turn aside. We must relinquish our direction and receive our call because there is need all over our periphery, and there God waits. Turn aside. Let God take over the bush and call your name and remain there until you find yourself demanding justice and proclaiming hope. God's not looking for heroes or for righteous, perfect leaders. God is simply waiting for the ones who will see and then turn aside, who will abandon their own life's journeys to let the bush burn within them, the one who's willing to relinquish their direction and say, here I am. Will you turn aside?